Our scripture reading today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout all of Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Eugene Peterson, in his book, Running with the Horses, tells us the story of Jeremiah. As a part of that, he pulls out this really interesting story from the 1980 Boston Marathon. At that race, a woman came out of nowhere and was the first female finisher. She received literal laurels on her head. She was receiving tons of attention, photographs, cameras were everywhere. People were congratulating her, and then other people started to finish the race. And it became clear that none of the other racers could remember her running. After a little investigation, what they discovered is that she had positioned herself to be at the last mile and jumped into the race so that it would be perceived that she had run the whole race, when really she had only run one of the 26.2 miles. Peterson compares this to our spiritual life. Sometimes, he says, we get so focused with what is visible, with how we are perceived, with those splashy acts of discipleship, that we lose sight and do not attend to those quiet, private practices that help us to truly be deep disciples. He says it's important for us to remember what we do in secret determines the soundness of who we are in public. Jesus, in our scriptural story, is in Capernaum. He has been healing folks by the dozens. He has been followed by a huge crowd. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, and the crowds gathered around their house and were literally knocking on his door. The whole town, it says, gathers around him. But then Mark tells us that Jesus thinks it's really important to pray. He sneaks away under the cover of darkness to a deserted place where he can be alone to develop his relationship with God. Recently, I was reading through the book of Proverbs, and as I was reading along, some of the language just struck me as very Jesus-like. Particularly, there was a passage, it was chapter 28, verse 6, where it says, "Better to be poor and walk in integrity than to be crooked in one's ways, even though rich." As I was thinking about that passage, I thought, that sounds a lot like something Jesus says, not a direct quotation, but very similar to what he says in chapter 16 of Matthew's gospel. "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life?" There are literally hundreds of oblique references to the Old Testament throughout the Gospels. Jesus doesn't often say, as it says in this passage. Way more often, he says things that are in harmony with the scripture of the Old Testament. What dawned on me is that Jesus must have spent hours and hours of his life pouring through the scriptures, embodying them, drinking up, soaking up God's word to the point where it just flowed out of him. Sometimes I've been caught off guard by Jesus' language of prayer, where he'll call God Father, which wasn't super common at the time, and then even more so where he calls God Abba, a daddy. Sometimes it sounds presumptuous, but the reality is when we spend time with someone, we develop that intimacy where we call each other by different names. And Jesus was so close to God that he went from formal language to informal language. It's like we do with each other. If someone comes up to me and calls me Reverend Alexander, I know that we don't know each other well. If someone walks up to me and calls me Reverend Alexander and laughs, I know that we know each other pretty well. You can see by how Jesus speaks about God and how Jesus references Scripture that he is so close. Luke tells us that Jesus was 30 years old before he began his formal ministry. We've puzzled through the years of what all must have happened with Jesus in those Nazareth years as he was growing up and becoming who he would be when he entered into public ministry. Why aren't there more stories? There's literally only one story in the scriptures of Jesus between his birth age and his adult ministry age, that tantalizing story from Luke's gospel where Jesus teaches the teachers in the temple. Some folks wonder, maybe those stories just simply weren't there. Maybe no one thought to ask Jesus, what was it like growing up? I wonder sometimes if maybe the reason they don't get included is that the stories of Jesus's years before his public ministry may not have been all that interesting. Imagine reading a journal where it says, day one, woke up, prayed, read scripture, prayed, read scripture, prayed. Day two, woke up, prayed, read scripture, prayed, read scripture, prayed. Day three, it would not be the most interesting of reading, would it? It's far more interesting to hear about feeding 5,000, to hear about healing those who are possessed by demons, to hear of walking on water. These are the stories that capture our attention, like running across a finish line. And yet, I wonder how much Jesus's time before his public ministry influenced those very spectacular moments. It's really interesting to me that when Jesus is approached by his disciples, they come to him and say, Lord, everyone is seeking you. And Jesus doesn't respond by saying, fine, let them come. He responds with incredible energy. Let's go. Let us go take this word to the other places. Let us get up and go. Jesus, it seems, is filled with energy from this moment he has had to reconnect deeply with God. So many parts of our ministry and our life as disciples are public. We've been talking about marks of discipleship, and service is public. We'll be talking soon about community, about giving, about worship. All these things are very public. They're kind of like the last mile of a marathon. And we can hold each other accountable for these things. If we don't do these acts, they're visible. We can ask about them. It's hard to hold each other accountable for our private devotional life. We don't see that part. And yet that part of our life, that part of our spiritual journey is so critical. It's like the first 25 miles of a marathon. They get us to the finish line. It changes how we do those other more public, visible things. So I want to encourage you to dive in more deeply in your prayer life, to dive in more deeply in your personal reading of Scripture, to dive in more deeply to those private acts that set us up to live a public, beautiful life. Amen.